All right, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ready to receive the word of the Lord tonight? Let's take some bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Lord God, I just thank you, O God, for your word is going out tonight. I pray, O God, Lord, right now, God, Lord, that you would, O God, bring understanding in the hearts, O God, Lord, into the minds of every person in here, O God. It says in Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Lord, you are the one, oh God, who makes our eyes to see and our ears to hear and bring understanding to our minds. I pray that, Lord, you would, oh God, Lord, just bless us with deep understanding of your word tonight. And I pray, oh God, Lord, that it will produce a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown, oh God, Lord. Do a mighty work, oh God, Lord. And right now, I bind the thief who may come to try to steal away the word. I come and against him right now by the blood of Jesus Christ. I bind every distracting, doubting spirit, in Jesus' name, I bind them. Oh God, loosen, oh God, Lord, hallelujah, into this place. The freedom of the Holy Spirit. Just thank you, Lord, that you're moving through this place. Right now, you're moving through this place. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good evening, everybody. Say good evening, everybody. Who of you in here would like to be used by God in powerful and mighty ways? Raise your hand. If that's you, you want to be used by God. All right, hallelujah. If that's you, turn with me to Luke 16:10. Luke 16:10. Luke 16 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Hallelujah, the word of the Lord tonight. I want you to say to your neighbor right now, be faithful with the small things. Point your finger at him and say, be faithful. You know, a lot of people want to be used mightily by God, but first they need to understand this verse. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Some people think that they can skip the small tasks and jump to big responsibilities. This may apply to everything from the church pulpit to the corporate office. But what people fail to realize is that God does not entrust big responsibilities to just anyone. Whether it's a leadership position, a promotion, a bigger budget for you to work with, or even something like marriage. If you want to be entrusted with big things, you must prove faithful with the small things. You know, this is because God knows that if you can't be faithful with the small things, you won't be faithful with the big things. You know, if you can't tithe faithfully out of your $30,000 income, God knows you're not going to tithe faithfully when you get $300,000 income. Some people excuse their lack of productivity by saying that they have no time on their hands. Or I can't have quiet time because I don't have any time on my hands. Well, let me say something. If you can't faithfully manage a few free hours that you have each week, right, it won't change a thing if you got 10 times more free time in a week. If you can't faithfully minister to 4 people in your group, small group, Bible study for a few months, God's not going to entrust you with a ministry of 4,000 people for several years. He knows that if you can't be faithful with small things, you're not going to be faithful with the big things. Jesus said here, whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. If you want to be entrusted with the big things and you want God to use you in powerful ways, you have to understand one principle, and that is that you need to be faithful with the small things. All right, turn to your neighbor, point at them again, and say, be faithful with the small things. You know, being faithful with the small things ain't easy. You know, it's not very easy to be faithful with small things. You know, being faithful with small things requires taking the heart of a servant. You will need humility to do the small tasks that nobody else wants to do. But praise the Lord, because God knows a season of humility will produce more character than a lifetime of success. And this is one of the reasons why God does this way. Because big responsibilities requires big character. But experiencing success after success after success is not going to produce character. But it's the tests of life. It's where you're humbled. It's where you're serving people and just serving anyone and all. You know, in fact, the Bible describes faithfulness as a character trait. You know, we think of faithfulness as something that we do. Okay, well, the Bible describes faithfulness as something that you are. It's a character trait. Galatians lists faithfulness under the fruit of the Spirit. Right? It's something that, just like other character traits, patience, love, is something that grows and develops over time. And faithfulness is a character trait that is highly praised by God. Do you know that? Faithfulness is a character trait that is highly praised. It's what makes God happy. You know, Twizzlers, they make your mouth happy. Well, faithfulness, they make God happy. You know, our talents, it doesn't really impress God much, you know. You think about it, he gave it to us anyway, you know. Hey, God, look at all these talents I have. Look at all these talents, Lord. He's just like, I know. I gave them to you. You know? You may not even have many talents or skills. You might be thinking, I don't even have that many talents or skills. But the good news is, you can always be faithful, no matter how much talent or skills you have. Jesus indicated that in the time of judgment, it will be a person's faithfulness that will be praised. Let's turn to Matthew 25 and look at a famous parable that we all know. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 29. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 29. All right. Let's do responsive reading. Actually, you know what? I'll just read it. Okay. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 29. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money. To another, 2 talents. And to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work, and he gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5 and said, Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came and said, Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Said, Master, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See? Here's what belongs to you. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Hallelujah. Now, you know, when I read this parable, I always sympathize with the last guy. I feel bad for him. I mean, come on. He only got one talent. Another guy gets 10. The other guy gets 5. Oh, no. Another guy got 5. The other guy got 2. He got 1. How's that work, right? Isn't it natural to be a little bitter? You know, wouldn't you relate to him, right? I felt bad for this guy until I realized two things as I reread this scripture. One is verse 15. The master didn't randomly give away what he felt like giving. Verse 15 says that the master entrusted them with money, each according to his ability. So, if you think about it, this guy got what the master thought he could handle. So there's nothing unfair about that. And then number two, the problem didn't lie with the amount of talents that he had received, but the problem really lied in this guy's heart. Instead of being faithful with what he was entrusted, he criticized the master. And he also compared him with what he had with what the other servants had received. Now, many people in the church fit the picture of this third servant. Since they're entrusted with small things, like taking out the garbage, cleaning up after Sunday service, setting up the sound system, making copies for the pastor, taking meeting minutes and notes. Since they're entrusted with these small things, instead of being faithful, people have a temptation to complain about what they've been entrusted with. They feel like they have so much more to offer. And they feel like the thing that they're entrusted with right now is not going to make a big difference. So what do? They both criticize the person that asked them to do these things. And they also compare themselves with others and look at what others have been entrusted with. And they, when it comes down to it, they allow bitterness to seep in and pride to seep in. And they become too prideful to do small chores. Or people do them, but they only do them for a few weeks and then they flake out. You know, some people think that unless they are doing big things for God, you know, wanting to do mighty things for God, almost everybody in this room raised their hand tonight. Wanting to do big things for God is a noble heart. It's a noble thing to desire. But how you get to those big things is also very important. Because many people want to be entrusted with the big things. God, use my life powerfully. Lord, I want to be used to the nations. Lord, I want to stop the social injustice. I want to stop the sex slave trade and human trafficking in the world. Lord, I want to use me to end poverty. They want to be used in big ways. Lord, use me to preach the gospel to the Muslim nations, to North Korea. Use me in big, powerful ways. But they're not willing to accept how to get there. They're not interested and how to get to those big things. They only got their eyes set on those very big things. And there are some people that feel like if they're not doing big things for God, they're not doing anything for God at all. They're not doing anything of significance. So they want to skip all the small responsibilities and they want a shortcut to powerful ministry. And I believe this is a straight up lie from Satan. This is a deception that the enemy uses. People who fall into this lie are the ones that are most vulnerable to bewitching spirits. You know, evil spirits, they feed off of people's insecurity and the lack of spiritual maturity and authority in that believer's life. Evil spirits, they can sense it. They can smell when you don't want spiritual authority in your life, when you are no longer walking in spiritual maturity, or you have a lot of insecurity. Demons can smell that, and they target you. And people who are not interested in being faithful with the small things, they're the most vulnerable to these kinds of attacks. You know, I preached this sermon exactly 1 year ago today. Okay? And I feel the need to preach it again. Because as our church is at a whole new season, we're about to enter a whole new season, the same symptoms are coming up. I see the same kind of heart in the hearts of the people here. You know, other churches, they have a problem where people don't even want to be used in a big way. They just want to live life. They want to just live a safe life. And that's their church's problem. But in churches where they're growing and there's revival, this is another problem that the church may face. Where people want to be used mightily, but they don't want to be faithful with the small things. You know, if you really think about it, this is probably what Charles T. Russell felt. Okay? Charles T. Russell. Charles Taze Russell. He wanted to be used mightily by God. I was like, God, use me mightily. Lord, if you ain't going to use me mightily, I don't want to be used at all. Maybe that was his attitude. Who knows, right? You know what happened? Right? He started thinking that God's voice started speaking to him. And God's voice was like, start a new movement called Jehovah Witnesses, the Watchtower Society. Charles Taze Russell is a father of one of the biggest cult groups in the world, Jehovah Witnesses. Okay. And I'm telling you, I bet you this guy did not intend to sit down and start a cult. But he simply wanted to be used mightily by God. And he became severely deceived. Okay. Or you may think of guys like Joseph Smith. You know? Or David Koresh. I don't know if you guys know who David Koresh is. You know? He was a Seventh-day Adventist. And, you know, Seventh-day Adventists, you know, it used to be a cult. Now they reformed, but then they don't have very good application of the changes across the board. So I personally don't really embrace Seventh-day Adventists as brothers and sisters, but I believe they are true brothers and sisters in that church. But anyway, there's this guy, David Koresh. He wanted to be used mightily by God. And God just started speaking to him. And he was like, yeah, this must be the voice of God. And God was like, you are my son. You are the David, the son of David. So he changed his name to David. David Koresh. And he started this group called the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas. All right. And in the early 90s, it ended up in the death of all of his cult group members. Because the FBI and ATF raided his compound because they had stockpiled weapons. Because they believed that they were living in the end times. David Koresh was also sleeping with all the women in the compound. Because he believed that he's a David, the son of David. So he had this twisted beliefs and thoughts. You know, cults are born when people have a noble heart but are not willing to pay the price to be faithful with small things. We want to nurture the prophetic gifts here at JSCM. But you know what? The truth is, if you do not have any proven faithfulness in this church, you really are not ready to use that gift effectively at this church. You can come up with to me with all kinds of great prophetic words, and I will thank you. But unless you're willing to be proving faithful in the small things, you really are not ready to be released effectively into that kind of gifting and ministry. And that's the hard facts. If you really want to serve with that gift, you're going to have to take out the trash. You're going to have to cook breakfast at the retreat where nobody notices you behind the kitchen, but you've been slaving away since 6 a.m. You're going to have to commit to leadership training. You're going to have to come out to Friday prayer meetings. You're going to have to prove your faithfulness. You know, the fire of God, it comes suddenly upon people. And people can be suddenly baptized by the Spirit because, you know, baptism of the Spirit doesn't depend on your character. It just comes suddenly. Whoever God wants, he'll just pour out his Spirit on anybody and everybody. He can baptize you whether you've been faithful or not. Fire can come. The anointing and the gifts of the Spirit can be released. But there will be no release into an effective ministry without faithfulness in the small things. God assigns tasks and responsibilities, each according to his ability. God knows what you can handle. And God knows that before he can entrust you with the big things, he got to build you up by entrusting you with small things to be faithful with. That's because God knows that a lot of responsibility requires a lot of character. Think about it. Joseph did not become the prime minister of Egypt overnight. David did not become king overnight. Even though he was anointed, he knew he was anointed as a new king, he didn't become king for like 15, 18 years later. They each had to prove faithful with small things. You know what Joseph had to do before he became prime minister? You know, even when he was a kid, God gave him a dream where, like, his brothers were bowing down to him, you know? And God must have given him a supernatural interpretation because I can't look at his dream and think that that's what it means. Like, these, like, wheat stalks rise up and then there are 12 of them bowing down to one big one. And he's like, hey, y'all are those wheat stalks. And that don't make any sense because right at that time, Benjamin wasn't even born yet, you know? Benjamin was the last son. It didn't make any sense, but he interpreted it that way. And pissed off his brothers, by the way, who were all half-brothers. So, you know, they're not really full-blood brothers. So they will kill him and not feel any sympathy, you know? Because all their mothers and their maidservant mothers, you know, they didn't all like each other either, you know? But he had that vision as a kid. He had that dream. And maybe he thought that he was going to rise up to it overnight. But God showed him otherwise. What happened? He went into the dungeon. God brought him through the process. And you know where he had to prove faithful before he can be faithful as a prime minister? He had to prove faithful in Potiphar's house. He had to take out the trash, mop up the floors, clean up whatever Egyptian pets that they had, clean up all the dung and the pee-pee. And he probably didn't even like the Egyptian food because he wasn't used to that. Well, he had to clean up and do the dishes and whatever he had to do. He had to prove faithful in Potiphar's house. And then for his faithfulness, he got set up, ended up in the dungeon. And then you know what happened in the dungeon? God entrusted him with more small things, right? Prison warden's like, can you do this for me? And Joseph's like, yeah. Other prisoners, when they get entrusted with that, prison warden's like, can you do this for me? And then the other prisoner's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm in prison. I ain't doing nothing for you, punk. Can't wait till I get out so I can get your family or something, you know? Prisoners were bitter. But Joseph, he was faithful with those small things. And the prison warden showed him a lot of favor. David also had to prove faithful with the small things, right? You know what he did as a teenager? While all his brothers were up in the house, you know, with big responsibilities, whatever they had, you know what David had to do? He had to step on sheep dung every day. He was taking care of all the sheep out there. He was faithful with the small things. Right? Later on, when Saul was getting tormented by evil spirits, right, Saul brought him in and was like, can you play the harp? What did David do? He didn't say, Saul, you got evil spirits, you need to get delivered. He was just faithful with the small things. Just play the harp. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Get out of here, demons. Get out. Get away from Saul right now. He leads me beside quiet waters. What did you just say, David? Oh, nothing, King Saul. He had to prove faithful. He was faithful. And under King Saul's leadership, even though King Saul was out to kill him, David still proved faithful. I mean, how hard is that when your boss is trying to kill you? I mean, I'm out. Peace. I ain't serving you no more. You just try to spear me 3 times this week. I'm out. David, he submitted to the authorities. He trusted that God would protect him, and he kept serving faithfully. And God raised him up. God raised him up mighty ways. Yeah, one example of someone he wasn't raised up that way. Maybe King Solomon, you know. Kid had a good heart, you know. He asked for wisdom, and God just gave him everything anyway. And but then, you know, look what happened. Kingdom got, you know, got completely torn apart after his kingship. He married hundreds and hundreds of wives. That's just... Something's not right there, you know? I mean, they had some wives back then, but like hundreds, you know? 1,000 wives, like who does that? You know? And I think if he came through the dungeon, he would have just been like, one wife's good enough for me, thank you. But you know, things were handed to him, you know? And he didn't have the character. He had the wisdom, you know, but he lacked that character. You need that character. And you know what? I don't know where you are at your life, but we need to stop envying each other. That's one thing that needs to stop. So many people refuse to serve because they're not serving in the way that their friend is serving. You know, and if you can't celebrate someone else's success, you need to just examine your heart, because that just shows you how small your heart is when you're not able to celebrate with someone else's successes. Because when it comes down to it, it's all for His glory. We're all part of one family. It's all part of building His kingdom. Be faithful with the small things. And let me say one thing about faithfulness. Doing the minimum is not faithfulness. You know? I've entrusted things to people in the past. Campus Crusade. You know, at my church back at home. And even here, you know. And there are people that do everything I ask them to do. But they don't do anything beyond that. You ever been in a leadership position and you have to face that? It is the most frustrating thing in the world. You know, you ask them to do something, and yeah, they do it, but then they just do the minimum. If I ask them why they overlooked simple things that simply required a little bit more work or attention, they simply respond with, "I did what I was supposed to do." You know? And somehow we equate doing the minimum with faithfulness. You know, because we are not humble enough to treat what we've been entrusted with. We're not humble enough to do it with all our hearts. So what do? We do it half-heartedly. And we just end up doing the minimum. That's not faithfulness, folks. You know, the Good Samaritan, he not only brought the beaten man to the inn, but he went the extra mile. He did more than the minimum. He paid for that guy's stay, and then he gave even extra money. And said, you know, if this guy stays a little longer, you know, let me know. This will be some extra money. If he needs even more money, I'll come back and pay it. He went more than a minimum. Think about it. When a man is doing the minimum and he's not sleeping around, you know, there's some men that think, I'm a faithful husband. They're not sleeping around. And they say, I'm a faithful husband. But they're looking at pornography every night. That's not faithfulness. Don't pat yourself on the back because you're doing the minimum. That ain't faithfulness. Now, the Pharisees were proud of their minimal faithfulness, and Jesus rebuked them for hypocrisy. Faithfulness is more than just mere duty or doing the minimum. It's a matter of the heart. Right? When you get entrusted with something small, don't just count yourself faithful because you're doing what you're supposed to do. But look at your heart. Are you doing it out of joy? Are you doing it with a whole heart? Because that's faithfulness. When you do it with all your heart. Because our faithfulness, when it comes down to it, is not to Pastor Sam. It's not to Brother Christian, the new lead pastor at JSCM. Faithfulness is not to me. Faithfulness is to God. And so the matter of your heart, the state of your heart is very important as you do those things that you're entrusted with. And hallelujah, as you stay in that faithfulness with all your heart, whatever you are doing, you do it with all your heart, God will vindicate you. God will raise you up. God did not fail to raise up Joseph to be prime minister. There's so many things that could have gone wrong and that couldn't have happened. But God made sure that it happened because God will vindicate those whose hearts are fully committed and being faithful. Henry Blackaby said, Jesus' standard for rewarding his children with greater knowledge of God or more responsibility from God rests on the level of trustworthiness in which they handle small responsibilities God has already given. If you can be faithful in the little things, God will entrust you with greater things. You want to know the secrets of the kingdom? You want more wisdom and knowledge and power? Then be faithful with what you have now. You want to heal the masses? You want to have healing crusades and heal people of cancer and paralysis and raise the dead? Well, be faithful to pray for your friend who got a migraine. Your friend's like, man, I got a migraine all week. And you're just like, oh, there. And you're thinking, no, use me to heal the thousands, to raise the dead. And your friend's like, oh, my head hurts. Hey, shut up. Lord, I'm thinking about my vision, all right? That's kind of like what we do. But as you use your anointing, the amount you have right now, you get more. You got to give it away for you to get more. And as we enter into a new season here at this church, if God's given you a small assignment, let me just encourage you guys, don't get down about it. See it as a time of testing, a time of preparation where God's going to entrust you with larger responsibilities. Be faithful with the small things. You know, there are blessings of being faithful. The Word of God has three that I can name right now off some scriptures. Psalm 37:28. It says, for the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever. Hallelujah. Number one is God protects the faithful, right? You see people that they just fear everything and they just fear like some freak accident is going to get them. They think that somebody's going to turn the corner and mug them. They think just something bad's going to happen to them, right? If you want to get rid of that fear, just focus on this verse and then focus on your faithfulness. Because if you're faithful, God protects you forever. Psalm 98:10. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Hallelujah. You know, we think about it, many of the apostles were martyred. Okay. And we think, look, see, God didn't protect them. They got torn apart, crucified upside down, beheaded. What happened there? God didn't protect them there. Okay? But if you were to take an example like the Apostle Paul, okay, you might just focus on his death. See, but you got to focus on his life. Apostle Paul lived a long life. He was like in his 60s and 70s. He was like in his 70s when he finally died. Okay. And during his life, he was shipwrecked. And God protected him. He was whipped like Jesus was whipped. And God protected him. He got whipped like that again. And God protected him. And again. And God protected him. He had to fight wild animals. He was stoned and left for dead. And God protected him. You see, we'll focus on how they died, but we also got to focus on how they lived. And if you look at their life, God protected them. And when finally the time came and God was like, Paul, I want you to make a grand exit. God blessed him with the exit of a martyr. That's not just for anybody. You can't just choose that. That's something God chooses for his faithful ones. Or it could be like Elijah and be real bitter and then God just take you up in a whirlwind. Yeah, and Elijah was fed up. So God took him up. But, you know, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in, in these last days, I believe God, people who are really, really faithful, God's going to bless them with that kind of exit. But if you hold to these promises, he's going to protect you. He's going to protect you. Man, I have so many instances where I should have died. I'll tell you right now. First grade, first week in Philadelphia. First grade. It wasn't my first week, but it was my first week of first grade. There was a big commotion in the lunchroom. Okay, I kid you not. This is my first facing death. This is my first time. There's a big commotion. I went up to the commotion, and I was like, what's going on? What's going on? It looked like there's something exciting going on. So I was like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? All these big black dudes were all gathered around in a big circle. And I was like, what's going on? What's going on? And all of a sudden, this dude just stepped on my foot, and he fell on me. And as he fell on me, five other guys fell on top of him. And a big group of people just fell on top of each other. And as a first grader, I was trapped underneath. Okay. My lungs were getting crushed. I should have gotten some cracked ribs or something. And I was literally going to black out. I remember thinking, this must be it. I'm going to die. I was thinking all this in Korean too, because I didn't know English back then. All right. God protects the lives of his faithful ones. You know why? Because there's one dude, he just took my hand and he started yelling at everybody. He's like, everyone, get off, get off. And he just pulled me out. He said, little man, you all right? Little man, you all right? And it took me a while to catch my breath. That was the first time I had wind knocked out of me. All right. That was not the only time. All right. All throughout my life, man, there have been all kinds of crazy things that happened. But God protected me. God protected me. He protects the lives of the faithful ones. Number two, Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will be richly blessed. If you're faithful, you'll be richly blessed. If you're not faithful, you're always going to struggle. You're always going to try to get by. But if you're faithful, you're going to live a life that's richly blessed. You might be looking at Job and saying, well, God took away everything Job had. Well, look at the end of Job. God blessed him even more at the end. Because he, you know, despite some of the things he did, God saw him as faithful. And God richly blessed him. A faithful man will be richly blessed. Number three, Psalm 18:25 says, to the faithful you show yourself faithful, to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. I love that verse. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful, but to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. Hallelujah. That means when the crooked businessmen, they think that they are making all this money, and then they think they're cheating all these people out from their retirement fund, and then doing all these things and cheating people out in business, and then you know what happens? God goes, bam! Enron. And he just exposes. And no one knows what Enron is. Am I the only American here that knows what Enron Enron was a horrible scandal. When I was a senior in college, they recruited like crazy at NYU. They recruited at Stern Business School. They recruited like crazy. And I remember a huge group of like 200 NYU students went down to Texas. All right. And I'm glad that I did not even touch their table. I went over there. I was like, what energy trading? What the heck is that? I was totally disinterested. But everybody went and they started at a 5-star hotel, all this stuff. But to the crooked, God shows himself shrewd. Just when the wicked think that they're going to prosper, when they think they just gotten away with it, God will let them get away with it for a while. And then God will show himself shrewd and be like, I gotcha. I'm God. I got you. God shows himself shrewd. I'm telling you. You don't think God, I think God gets pleasure out of that. I seriously think he's up there and he's like, he's just letting people go their way. And then he's like, all right, come on, repent. And you know, they don't. God's like, all right, let me show you who's God. To the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. But God is always faithful to the faithful. Hallelujah. You know, Aaron and I have been praying for almost a whole year for God to do a miracle in her parents' hearts so that they would support our relationship and then support our marriage and then support a wedding date in 2008. We started off 2008 with a week of fasting. From sunup to sundown, we fasted for 7 days or 5 days. 7 days. All right. We fasted in the beginning. And God, we were like, God, show yourself faithful. God, show us your faithfulness. And with our hearts, we try to really be faithful to him in every area of our lives. We try to just be as faithful as we could. And hallelujah. 2 weeks ago, the miracle was finally completed. Well, it's not complete. There's still a lot of other things that's going to be added. You're going to see at the wedding. Hallelujah. But God, finally, when we were at the cafe 2 weeks ago and our dad was sharing and we were talking and I didn't know what to expect. There was a little bit of tension. And her dad all of a sudden started talking like, all right, so July in Korea. Okay. So, all right, I guess we're going to do this. And I just, excuse me? And I was thinking that into my head and I was just letting him continue to talk. And tears were about to well up in my eyes. Because all of a sudden, God just showed me a vision. It was like a boom. He just showed me this vision. And he took a review. It's like a video fast forward review a whole year. And he was like, I show myself faithful to the faithful. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. So those are three blessings of being faithful. And the question is, where can we be faithful? What are some application points? The Bible says, Romans 12:12, be patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Area one in which you can be faithful is in prayer. Keep praying for this church. Keep praying for your family. Keep praying for your non-Christian friends. God will be faithful. Hallelujah. But if you quit, you're not going to see no promises come to pass. Be faithful in prayer, brothers and sisters. Come out to these Friday prayer meetings. You know, some people don't come out. Maybe they don't. I don't know. I can't read people's minds. But some people may not. They come out for a while. And then maybe it gets less to go up on certain Fridays. Less, the temperature is not as high on certain Fridays. Or certain Fridays, like Christians preaching is just so bad. Or something. I don't know. It's just hard to pray sometimes. It is. Prayer is also a discipline. And some people might be like, I'm not getting anything out of it. So I'm not going to come. Okay. Well, don't think of it as just this time is a time of blessing for you. Think of it double fold. It's also a place where you can prove faithful and seek God's face. Where you can honor him. And release your faith. So you get bigger blessings than just the blessings you get on this Friday night. That's one area. Another one, Deuteronomy 11:13. If you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Another area in which you can be faithful is in his word. Faithful to read it, faithful to meditate, memorize, interpret it correctly, and faithful to apply it. You know, you can read all of the Sermon on the Mount, but if you don't take heed the last part of that sermon, all you're going to do is fill yourself with pride and knowledge. Because the last part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, he gives analogy about how a man who hears a word but does not apply it. Okay, it's like a man who just builds his house, but it's going to be ready to be ripped apart when the storms come. Okay, we got to apply the word of God. We got to be faithful in his word. Faithful to command and obey the words of God. Third, 1 Samuel 12:24. Be sure to fear the Lord and to serve him faithfully with all your heart. Remember, hallelujah. I didn't even see that earlier. With all your heart, not the minimum, right? Doesn't say serve him faithfully with just the exterior minimum, but do it with all your heart, right? And third area in which we can be faithful is in serving the Lord. And that can take it can take many different forms at many different stages of your life. And sometimes, you know what? Now and then, I still, God just calls me to take out the trash. You know what? I don't mind doing it because I did it before. I don't care if I was up on a pulpit one day and the next day I'm taking out the trash. You know? Now and then I do that. I do that because it brings me right back down to where a place of humility, you know? And sometimes he'll have you serving this way and then he'll have you serving back that way. You know, it's going to be different. It's going to be different through different seasons of your life. But to serve him is another area we can be faithful. 1 Peter 4:10 says, faithfully administering God's grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me just close with saying something about faithfulness. We need to aim for a certain kind of faithfulness, all right? You know, if you say no to sexual sin 20 times, but then you give in to it on the 21st time, that's not faithfulness, all right? If you have a spouse and that person is faithful to you for 700 days, but on the 701st day after you get married, that person goes out and sleeps with another person, that's not faithfulness. That person can't come to you and say, baby, I'm faithful. 700 days, I didn't touch another woman. I'm faithful. If I was that woman, I'd say, get out. You're going to take that faithfulness out of here. I'm not going to look at you right now. You need to get out. With that attitude, I'm not talking to you about this. Get out. That's not faithfulness. If your husband had that idea of faithfulness, how stupid would it be? How ludicrous is that? But so many Christians today, they aim for good enough faithfulness. Faithfulness is only faithfulness when you're faithful at all times. And that's what we need to aim for. We need to aim for faithfulness always. That's what we need to aim for. And you know, sometimes we're going to fail. You know, that's all right. Just confess, pray, get over it. And keep aiming for that always faithfulness, all the time faithfulness. But you know what? You need to aim for that. Don't be like, man, I fail so much, I need to aim for something less. Now, that's a lie of the devil. That's the same thing with holiness. God doesn't want you to aim for good enough holiness. Man, I struggle with sexual sin all my life. I'm just going to aim for just that. Just right below holiness. That's just as good enough. That's as good as it's going to get. And that's the lie of the devil. God wants you to aim for holiness. Be holy because the Lord your God is holy. If you fail, you get right back up. But you keep aiming for that holiness. Because that's the kind of life that God wants you to live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me just share with you the takeaway principle. You know, in a lot of churches, there's only a few people serving, and then there are a whole lot of people that don't do nothing. You know, they don't contribute nothing. All right, come on. Have you seen that in your churches? Yeah, a lot of churches, it's just a few people serving, and then the rest of the people don't contribute jack. And the reason why they're doing nothing is not because there's nothing for them to do, because they're not been faithful with the small things. You see, what happens is, some people are there, they're not willing to be faithful with small things, but they're still, some of them are waiting for a big assignment from God, right? But you know what? They're never going to get it. They're never going to get it. Because you know what happens? Jesus said, whoever wants to be great among you must be servant to all. And when you're not faithful with one talent, I'll tell you what God does. God does exactly what he said the master in the parable of talent would do. Okay? He doesn't keep coming at you and being like, okay, you weren't faithful with that small thing. Here, let me entrust you with this small thing. You weren't faithful with that one talent. Let me give you another one talent. Here, try to be faithful with this one. Here, let me give it back to you. Here, try it again. Here, try it again. Hey, you want to try again? Keep trying again. Keep trying. No, the Bible does not say that. God doesn't do that. You know what God says? David Pio loves this line. You know what God says? He looks at you're not faithful with the small things. You know what God does? All right. See that talent? Give me that talent. Give it to me. I'm going to give it to the one with the 10. The reason why there's so many people in the church that are filling the church, that are not doing anything for the Lord, is because when they're not faithful with the small things, you know what God does? God just takes it away from those, okay, who will not be willing to be proving faithful in the small things. Even what they have will be taken from them. And those who have an abundance will have even more. Because God moves with the movers. God is not your waiter. He's your master. He's not going to wait around for you to get it. He's going to take it and he's going to give it to somebody else. And God in his grace later on, he may entrust you with something else that small. But if your attitude is the same, you're just continue to go on your own way and live a fruitless life. You might be like, that's so mean. God won't do that. That's so mean. Oh, yeah. Just look at verse 29 in chapter 25 of Matthew, right? That's exactly what Jesus said, right? In the parable, right? Matthew 25, 29. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus already mentioned it in Matthew 13, 12. He mentioned it verbatim. But what he says in Matthew 25, 29 is, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. Hallelujah. And you know what? God just doesn't do this with people. He also does this with churches. And this is my prayer for JSCM. As we enter into a new season, I'm praying that people will start proving themselves with small things. Proving themselves faithful with small things. Because you know what? JSCM has experienced wonderful blessings and frequent outpourings from the Holy Spirit this past year. But as we transition, if nobody will prove faithful with the small things, you know what God will do? Revelation 2, 5. I will come to you and I will remove your lampstand. I will remove your lampstand from its place. That's talking about the church. And my prayer for JSCM is that people will humble themselves, take the heart of a servant, and be willing to prove faithful with the small things, with a vision for the big things. All those people that raised their hands in the beginning, don't get rid of that vision. I don't want you to get rid of that vision. I don't want you to think, I'm just going to do these small things all my life. Don't think that. That's not what God's thinking for you either. Think about, keep your eyes on the vision, all right? But be willing to humble yourself and serve in the small areas. And then the giftings and the dreams he's put in your heart, he's going to raise them up. He's going to raise you up like Joseph. God's going to raise you up like David. He'll vindicate you. He'll anoint you in public in front of all the people and will show you he who has proven faithful with the small things will be entrusted with much more. Hallelujah. Let's say something. Let's pray. Hallelujah. And before our sister Erin comes up to lead us in prayer, I want us to pray over one thing. You know, I talked about faithfulness tonight, but one thing I didn't mention in the message is faithfulness has a price tag. You know, there's a cost we must pay to prove faithful. The higher you go, the higher the cost. And at times, it's going to hurt. It's not going to be convenient to prove faithful. You have to forfeit hanging out with your friends to stay in and finish an assignment or to prepare for your small group. You have to sacrifice something you've always wanted in order to support a missionary, because God wants you to be faithful with that little bit of $100 that you thought you were saving up for yourself. You have to pay with sleepless nights to prepare the gospel message so that it can be preached. But make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, there's a price to pay if you're going to prove faithful. And the higher you go, the higher the cost. And you know, the words of our Lord Jesus even says in Revelation 2:10, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. There's a lot of people that are going to get eternal life, but there are going to be those people that are going to get the crown of life, where it's going to shine. And God's not going to be afraid to let them shine, because they lived a life of faithfulness, even to the point of death. Brothers and sisters, let's not just settle for everlasting life, but let's aim for crowns of life. Hallelujah. And as we look at the cross, therein lies our great hope for our own faithfulness. When your faithfulness is rooted in the faithfulness of our Lord, in the faithfulness of Jesus, therein lies the only hope that we can live a life of faithfulness. Faithfulness even to the point of death. Let's take this time. Let's just respond to the Lord and just pray in your own way. Our sister Erin will continue us in prayer.